Good morning. There are more of you now than when I was up here the first time. That's pretty cool. Hey, let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for this day that you've given to us to gather together and to look into your word. And we thank you that it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're able to gather together under the umbrella of your love as your children. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done to make that possible through your life and through your death and through your resurrection. We have found peace with God because we have put our faith and trust in you. And this morning we come before you, Father and Son, and we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing, that your presence would be known, that your guidance would be true, and that your love would be evident today. Lord, thank you for the love that we get to send out through this pile of Operation Christmas Child gifts. They're boxes that are being sent out across the world, and they're going to go to some little kid who has no idea what's inside, but they're going to tear the lid off and look at what's there and just be amazed. Thank you so much for the opportunity to give through that. And I just pray that your word would go out and that as they receive these gifts, they would receive the gospel message as well, that you are a God who gives good things to and through your people. Lord, we love you this day. In Jesus' name, we get to pray. Amen. All right. Back in about 1979-ish, my mom one day went away for a couple days, and I was only 8 years old going on 9 years old, and I didn't understand what was going on because, you know, back when I was growing up, moms and dads didn't talk about some things in front of the kids. They didn't talk about money. They didn't talk about problems, and they didn't talk about pains, all right? And I remember that one day my mom said, hey, tomorrow morning I've got to go to see the doctor, but I'll be back in a day or two, and everything's fine, it's fine. You just, when you wake up tomorrow morning, Nana will be here, and you're gonna, you know, just want to give you a heads up at what's coming. And I had no idea what's going on, and it wasn't until years later that I found out that my mom had to go into the doctor and have a large grapefruit-sized tumor removed. And she had it in her reproductive organs and stuff, so, you know, they basically went in and roto-rooted everything, and she turned out fine, like she said she would. And then a few years later, I got, it was probably when I was about 39, I get the phone call from my mom saying, hey, I just want to let you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer in my lung, and it doesn't look good, but I'm going to be all right. And it doesn't matter whether you're 9 or 39. Those words of cancer are scary things. Back when I was 9, it was a lot easier because mom and dad didn't say much. They didn't tell me what was going on, and everything was fine. But when I was 39, mom said, the old woman's got cancer, but it'll be okay. You know, it's said that we all carry cancerous cells within our bodies. These mutant masters lay dormant for a long period of time, and they're waiting to be activated and run amok through our systems. And it seems that the end result is very seldom a good thing. Eradicating them is difficult, and it oftentimes costs us a great deal. They kind of know what cancer is. They say it's radical cells on a mad crusade to destroy us from the inside out. And why it happens to some and not to all is still a mystery. They don't know what triggers them and gets them going, but they know there are influencers that make that happen. But the cancer within us sometimes just lays dormant forever, or sometimes it comes alive with vengeance. Sometimes we go through life and they're unnoticed, and possibly we never have to deal with them, but sometimes we come face to face with them. And if we do, typically it's never beneficial. But what's interesting is this, is that within the lives of all humankind, there seems to be these radical, erratic cells, this cancer that's waiting. And today more than ever, maybe because we have so much more information back than when I did when I was 9 years old, that it seems like cancer is a much more prevalent reality that we fear every day. I mean, if you have been touched personally by cancer, would you raise your hand this morning? Look at the hands going up in this room. If you've had a loved one that has had cancer of some sort, raise your hand. Okay, hold on. If you have not had the loved one have cancer, raise your hand. One, two. That was a lot easier. It's easier to count that, isn't it? It's a terrible disease. And if they're right, all of us have it. We just don't know it. And maybe it's going to, with God's grace, stay dormant and never affect us in our lifetime. But you know what's interesting is this. Inside of every believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there is a mostly unknown, seldom tapped, and misunderstood entity within. Unlike cancer, the activation and revelation of this entity is always beneficial for our lives. It produces radical change within us and outside of us. It transforms us mind, body, and soul. And when we are looking for stability, we find strength and courage. It changes us. It makes us. And sometimes it even has to break us. Sometimes it kills parts of us off. And sometimes it does it radically and quick. And sometimes, like the old song goes, it's killing me softly and slowly. But always, always, this entity will bring death to parts of your life. But it will always do it to make you better than you were before. Of course, this entity that I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is something that is really, really difficult for us to grasp. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind about this thing that God pours into our lives when we become a believer, that we have this gift that is given to us. It's kind of like some little kid is going to receive this box over here for Christmas this year, and it would be such an incredible waste for them to receive this gift and never open it up and see what's inside. Yet most Christians never open the box. Matter of fact, most Christians go through life and they don't believe they've received a box. They don't believe that there's anything good in them. There's no Holy Spirit to guide and direct them. And so they never get a grasp of who the Spirit is. But in order for us to begin to understand the Holy Spirit, we must understand what He is not. And I referred to Him at the beginning, I said, as an entity. And here's what's important for you to understand, okay? Dr. West would have smacked me right out of his classroom for saying that. Because the Holy Spirit is not an entity or an it, okay? The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a force. It's not an entity. He's not a warm fuzzy, although He can produce that inside of you. He's not some cosmic spark. He's not the life force, because you don't receive the Holy Spirit until you've received Jesus as Savior. So you are living long before you get Him, and you only get Him when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not something you tap into or tap out of. He is not the guiding force for all religions, as some people will say that the Holy Spirit guides all the religions of the world. He does not. Matter of fact, Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit. And He would use it to draw people to Him through His people. So what's interesting is the Holy Spirit is not an it. But what's great is to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. I know this seems kind of unique and different, because you think of spirit, you think of a ghost, and you think of a ghost, you say, That's not tangible, grabbable, hold, unless like you're Stephen King and then he sends a ghost like that that whoops you. But the crazy thing is, the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. He is a real person, a real living person inside of us. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." What's interesting is this is kind of a beautiful statement that Jesus makes concerning the Holy Spirit and who he is. Five times we see Jesus referring to the Holy Spirit as a person. Jesus was pretty smart. He could have sat there and said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit, and it will guide you, it will lead you, it will show you," but he didn't. He specifically said, "The world can't accept him, and neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you." Five separate times, Jesus makes reference to him, the Holy Spirit, as a person. Not a place or an idea, but a person. Alive and living within God's people. In fact, everywhere that the Holy Spirit is referred to in Scripture, he's considered to be a person. And here's some unique things that I was looking up and some of the different people were saying as I was looking through this. It says this: the Holy Spirit has intellect. The Holy Spirit has intellect. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, it says this: "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that we cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." When we don't even know what to pray for, that we can't wrap our minds around it, he's like, "Okay, you just agree with me. I got this." He's reasoned out what's best for us. And what's cool is this. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. My mom back in 1979 had to go to the doctor. And I'm sure compared to today's day and age, they did a very barbaric surgery. They cut her open. They didn't do it laparoscopically. They went in and they removed this tumor. She went to the doctor for some help. And the doctor worked on her and interceded on her behalf. And the cool thing was, mom was right, the doctor was right, and everything went well. The Holy Spirit does the same thing in each one of our lives. Every single one of us has the Holy Spirit guiding and leading and directing. There are times when the Holy Spirit stands in our way, kind of like a parent would. "Whoa, you don't want to go over this cliff." And there are some times that the Holy Spirit stands to our side and says, "Look, you don't want to go over that cliff." And then there are some times in our life when the Holy Spirit says, "I told you you didn't want to go over that cliff." Because the Holy Spirit works in different ways at different times. Sometimes we have to learn those hard lessons when we go over the cliff. We didn't have to. And as a matter of fact, we really didn't want to. But we did. We chose to. But the Holy Spirit is always trying to intercede for us before God. He's always trying to intercede for us on our what's best for us. He has extreme intellect because he's God. And not only that, Scripture tells us that he has emotions. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You know, sometimes people grieve my heart. And sometimes I grieve people's hearts. Sometimes it's difficult and it breaks our hearts because there's this just this thing like, oh man, you didn't have to end up in the pit again. And you know, grief is one of the most difficult of emotions because it always means that there's going to be loss. And if you go and read, take some time today. Go and read what it says right before this about what it takes to grieve and break God's heart. What's most interesting about that, it has very little with what we do to God. It has mostly what to do with how we treat one another and how we act towards one another. It's sad because when God sees his children acting like irate, out of control brothers and sisters, it breaks his heart. He's like, I died to make you better than that. But go read the surrounding verses, the prior to verse 30 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Read through that and see what that says about how we break God's heart. The Holy Spirit and God feel deeply about what we do and how we act and what we say. See, the Holy Spirit has intellect, it has emotions, and it has a will of its own. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit, and it's given for a common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each just as he determines. In Sunday school class, we were talking about that. We were talking about Bob and Maria Goff and their total opposite ends of the spectrum and who they are and how they act and how they live. And they've come to the understanding, as weird as Bob is to take balloons into the middle of an Iraqi war on a scooter. Imagine that. Kind of like, okay, imagine a clown, big nose, big shoes, riding on a scooter with balloons going into a war zone. That's about Bob and how he shares love with the world. And then you got Maria off to the sidelines, happy with three or four people that she can impact. God makes us all different. He invests into us all differently, and he's made us all unique so that when we come to the table, that we all don't sit there with balloons. He makes us all different so that he can do everything. And he wants to do that. And the way he does that is the Holy Spirit makes a decision on, you know what? I can best use you in this way. And so he gifts you that way. And you know what? Here's the great thing. All of you are different for a reason. And the Holy Spirit will let you know what that is when he feels it's right. But the great thing is this, is the Holy Spirit, he has intellect, he has emotions, and he has a will. And he works in our lives. And the way that the Holy Spirit is able to do all these things is because he's the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's who he is, and it's always who he's going to be. And you know what's interesting is we sit there and we say that the Holy Spirit is a person because he has intellect, emotions, and will. But here's what's unique. The Holy Spirit being eternal and being there at the formation and creation of all that is, he had input when God scooped up the dirt and he formed and fashioned man and created man in his image. So we sit there and it's funny. I was looking at this and we say that the Holy Spirit has personhood because he has intellect like us, and emotions like us, and a will like us. When the reality is, we got the cart before the horse. God created us, and he gave us these things of himself. See, these things don't make him human. They make us like him. And we need to grab a hold of the fact that the Holy Spirit working in us and through us makes us do great things like him. We're created in his image, and we have the characteristics of God imparted into us and modeled for us. He showed us that in the Old Testament through the things that he did. He showed us that through his presence as Jesus came and showed us what God looks like with skin on. And he shows us through that every single day when the Holy Spirit guides and directs us along the path that we walk. And guess what? Some of you wiggle and worm through the lines of life, man. You know, you go down the road, it's divided in two. It's simple. Stay on your side. Here in America, we've got it right because we drive on the right side, right? Down the middle are oftentimes a little yellow line. Boop, boop, boop. And some of y'all are doing this, thinking that it's a slalom course around them babies, you know? And sometimes you get a solid line. Now, here's the thing. I don't care how slow someone's going. If I've got a solid yellow line, the legalist in me will not let me pass them. But I tell you what. It'll be questionable of when I cross the center line once that solid yellow line comes to an end and I swing around them babies, all right? Because I'm going to go around them as hard and fast as I can to get around them. And, you know, it works. Because sometimes they're just in the way of where God's got me going. But, you know, the cool thing is, as we go down the path, sometimes he takes us in different directions. And that's okay. Because guess what? You're not meant to be me. I'm not meant to be you. You're not meant to be the people next to you. And guess what? Even though the two become one flesh, there's still the ability for separation between you to be yourselves and who God wants you to be. And he's going to direct you through his presence in your life through the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit is a busy boy, man. He indwells us, he helps us, he intercedes for us, he gifts us, he empowers us. He's got a big job to do because he just doesn't do it for you, he does it for me. And he doesn't just do it for you and me, he does it for everyone who has called on the name of Jesus to be saved. And here's some cool activities that he's got to do. Keeps him busy all the time. Activity number one, the Holy Spirit comforts us. John 16:5-7. I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. And but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away, because unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, here's what's interesting, is I looked over this passage, and there's several different words that can be used there that the NIV uses for counselor. The New King James lists it as helper. The Living Bible puts it down as advocate. The NIV, of course, put it as counselor. And I kind of like, because here's this deal. He's talking about, you are filled with grief. I tell you, it's your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, King Jimmy put it down as, the comforter will not be able to come to you. But if I go, I will send you the comforter. Now, what's interesting is this. When it's cold and you don't feel good, there's nothing like a big bowl of tomato soup, a grilled cheese sandwich, your big old favorite blanket wrapped around you, sitting in front of the TV with your feet up. They call those things comforters for a reason. They just make you feel wrapped, warm, secure, and safe, right? Here's what's cool is the Holy Spirit's way better than a bowl of soup and a sandwich and a big old heavy warm blanket that was crocheted by grandma. I've got those. I got and I'd probably run in and save them before other things in my house if the house is on fire. But what's interesting is this, is that one of the express natures of God is that he sends the Holy Spirit to bring comfort for us when we're struggling with things. He puts us in a place where our lives can be just held together when we feel like we're falling apart. Here's some of the things that I thought about. that are absolutely true things that impact all of us, that should bring us discomfort in life, that the Holy Spirit, I put down, he puts the but and the love of God back into our lives. If you are lost and separated from God, you are a sinner and going to hell because you've chosen your sin over God's provision. But God loves you and has made a way for you to be a part of changing all that. That's an incredible thing. And the Holy Spirit kind of broadcasts that to the world through his people. If you're saved, you are a sinful hypocrite. Aren't you? Anybody perfect? No. We are all sinful hypocrites at points in our lives. If you don't think you are, surround yourself with some teenagers after, and they will point it out for you. You are a sinful hypocrite in areas of your life. But God loves your little prodigal face, and if you confess and repent of your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you, and he will lead you in the path of righteousness because he loves you. He's got a plan. And sometimes we need the Holy Spirit when we're in the ditch of our own choosing as prodigals. We need him to say, God still loves you, and you stink, but I can help you with that. And to all of us, the call has gone out. You are so lost, but God has never taken his eye off you, so you're not that lost that God can't find you. Matter of fact, he knows where you are at every moment of your life. And he never, ever gives up on you. So when you feel alone, you're never alone. When you feel like you're persecuted, he's defending you. When you're living in the pain of loss and death, you can find hope and joy through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life that only you can have because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's there to comfort you in all of these things and so much more. And activity number two, the Holy Spirit counsels us. John 16:13-15, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Spirit reveals truth to us, capital T, not little t. He doesn't waste his time on those things. He reveals God's truth to us. He shares God's wisdom with us, and we can trust him because he's only going to speak for God what's best for us. The hard part is what Jesus says in John 14:23-26. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. So what's beautiful is Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit, you know, is going to go ahead and teach you things. He's going to reveal to you things, and he's going to remind you of things. The hard part is this. I don't remember everything at this moment that I have learned. I don't. But there are times when I'm going through my daily life I remember that. You ever done that? I remember that. Ooh, yeah. What was that? Long before cell phones and when we could type in what we were supposed to have, and long before that we sat down and made lists with paper and pencil, the Holy Spirit would remind us of things. Jesus showed us so much. He told us so much. But what's interesting is the Holy Spirit has to remind us of so much more. Teaches us all things, remind us of lessons we've been taught, and shows us even what is to come. The Bible reminds us of these things. The Bible, 2 Peter 1:20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Through the Bible, he's influenced us and guided and directed our lives, and he shows us what is to come. He shows us how we are to live in life, and he reveals to us more about who Jesus is and who we are to live for and what we are to really look like. You know, it's interesting that in John 16, verse 12, what we read earlier, right before, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus said something. He said, I have much more I want to say to you. But he was out of time. He says, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he will lead you into the truth. He said, I've got stuff I want to tell you, but you can't bear it at this moment. But I want you to know that the Spirit will teach you these things. He's got a big job, and he counsels us with wisdom. Activity number three, I know, I've only got this much left on my page. We're almost done. We got 3 points. I know, fast. Activity three, the Holy Spirit convicts everyone. The Holy Spirit convicts everyone. John 16, 7 to 11, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit pokes and prods our conscience and makes us conscious of sin. And you know what? He does this for everybody on the planet. He does it for those who are lost, because he tells through his word and through his people, it's evident that Romans 3:23 is true. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He uses his law and his word and his people to show that to everyone. And also, when they become conscious of the sin of that's in their lives, what happens is this, that he further reveals to them that they need a Savior, because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He offers the gift of eternal life to everyone who will turn to him. In their sinful state, they can be set free, and they can be forgiven, and they will be his child forever. The world is constantly reminded of their sin and separation from God, no matter how they try to legislate morality. It will not change the fact that they need a Savior. And not only that, we, his children, whenever we sin, it breaks the heart of God, and he reminds us of what sin is and what he died to set us free from. And you know, the beautiful thing is that the purpose of conviction, whether you're separated from God and lost in the world, or you're in his family, is to bring us closer and conform us to the image of Christ. That's the goal of conviction. Now, guilt is a whole nother thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal out guilt. He deals out conviction. He deals out the things that he says, look, this is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus lived. This is what you're supposed to look like and how you're supposed to live. And here's where you're not lining up, child of God. So what are you going to do about it? And he will rattle our chains. He'll convict our hearts. And that's what his job is to do. But one of the beautiful things is, as he does that, he reminds the children of God, you're a child of God. God loves you. That will never change. You were loved before you became his child, and I want you to know that you're better than this. Over and over he does that. Because his goal is not just to get us to heaven. His goal is to conform us to the image of Christ. And you know what? We've got a lot of work that we need to be doing on ourselves so that we become more like him. It says, rid yourselves of these things. Let go of these things. Eradicate these things from your life. Be more like Jesus. You know, I love it when people sit there and say, but Jesus didn't say that. He never preached one sermon. We don't see anything in the New Testament about anything Jesus said about these topics. Just like the Holy Spirit is eternal and was there at the formation and the consecration of all things, Jesus, too, being part of the Trinity, was there, had great influence and impact. And you know what? When he said some of the things he said in the Old Testament, I think maybe Jesus might not have had time to get around to that sermon, but the Holy Spirit can. This Holy Spirit will. And it's time we start listening. Because God does not change. The message has always been the same. The standards have never changed. But we like to change the message to make it convenient for us. So maybe the Holy Spirit wants to do the fourth activity, which is to correct us. We never should confuse conviction with guilt. The cross of Jesus Christ deems us not guilty. But conviction says, straighten up and get back on the path. Okay? There are areas of our lives, all of us have them, that we need to straighten up and get back on the path. And remember, always, here's the thing. This is the way you can tell between the Holy Spirit convicting you and the devil trying to guilt you. It's simple. The Holy Spirit has an incredible role in the life of every believer, and that is to confirm your true identity. To confirm your true identity. Because he will convict you just as hard as the devil will guilt you. He will say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, the devil will sit there and say, you are a hypocrite and you don't deserve to be a child of God and you should just quit. And the Holy Spirit will say to you, you know what? You are a child of God and you know that this does not line up with God's word in your life, because remember, he said this, you can do better. One's conviction through the Holy Spirit, one's guilt through the devil, and the two are completely different. One rips, tries to strip away your identity in Christ, and the other one affirms it. So who are you going to listen to? The Holy Spirit or the devil? It's hard to hear, but one is saying, you can do better, and the other is saying, you should quit. Always listen to the Spirit that says, you can do this. You see, this is the beautiful thing. Romans 8:16 talks about how the Holy Spirit's going to confirm our true identity. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Even though you fail, even though you deny him like Peter did, even though you quit in doubt like Thomas did, even though you're falling apart at the seams, he keeps going, come on, buddy. You can do this. Don't quit. Don't give up. The Spirit of God is a busy boy in the lives of everyone. He's got a big job, and this was not an exhaustive list. I mean, God's working in so many other ways. But those five activities show the heart of God. He comforts us, he counsels us, he corrects us, he convicts us, and he confirms us. Those are some pretty good things that he does in the lives of believers. And he does it through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's time we invite the Holy Spirit to do his job in our lives. So as the worship team comes, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me, all right? Holy Spirit, you have said, where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, you are here. That is an incredible promise that we share, and there's a lot more in two or three here. And your presence, Holy Spirit, is with us in an incredible way. We've worshiped you today. We have praised you today. We've looked at your word today. And we know that you desire to do so much in and through our lives, to bring glory to God the Father, his wonderful Son, and to yourself, the great triune God who has given everything we need for righteousness and holiness. And it's hard because the world yells at us, hypocrite, loser, quit, give up. May we tune in to the still small voice of God that continually says, but God loves you. I'm with you. You can. So Holy Spirit, cheer us on until we cross the finish line with you. Never give up on us, as you promised you would never give up. And may we let you do the work that you want to do in our lives, no matter what that costs us, no matter where that takes us, no matter what that looks like. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen.